One of the disciples, as they're exiting the temple, points out the stones, the stonework in the temple, and says, "Look, Jesus, look at these large stones." Josephus, a historian that wrote at the same time when the temple was still standing, said that the temple was covered with large plates of gold. From a distance, it looked like a glowing jewel out on the distance on top of Mount Zion. The temple was huge. It would be the equivalent of a 15-story building today. Thousands of worshipers could fit in that temple. It was twice as large as the largest temple in Rome. That's how big and how much of a marvel and a wonder of the world it was. Even to this day, I know some of you may have been there, I haven't, but have seen those stones that are still there in Jerusalem. It's still a marvel of the world, of that ancient technology, that they were able to cut such large stones and move them from such distances, some of them much larger than a school bus. How did they do that? And so the disciple who says, "Look, Jesus, what large stones," is still a wonder today. But Jesus says, "Do you see? You look and see. Do you see these great buildings? Do you see them rightly?" Jesus sees what is, he sees what was, and now he's going to tell us what is to come. And what is to come is the complete destruction of the temple in Jerusalem in the year AD 70, just about 40 years after this conversation. In the year AD 70, the Romans invaded Jerusalem. They ended up seizing the temple. They set it on fire, and the flames were so hot, they consumed all the cedar that would have been built inside. And it also melted the gold plates that were all over the outside. And as the gold melted, it melted into the crevices and cracks between the stones. That's why no stone remained on another. They would turn, the Roman centurions and soldiers would turn the stones to recover and to harvest that gold. This passage, however, is not about the end of the world, as it sometimes sounds. It's about the beginning of a new era, an era after the temple. This tragic and painful event will scatter the Jewish people all over the world. After even the persecution of Christians decades before, after Pentecost, also scattered the Christians. You'll remember that this happened after the killing of Stephen, the stoning of Stephen, that they too had to go into exile. But when they left, they also brought their faith with them, beginning a new era and a new epoch of the Christian faith. Jesus isn't telling this to the disciples to rain on their parade or try to quiet their wonder as they gaze on those magnificent stones. What he's doing is he's reminding us of the impermanence of this world, that everything that we see will one day pass away. Why? So that we don't put our trust in those things, but only in those things that are permanent, which is the Lord and his word. You'll remember God's word says that the flower fades, but the word of the Lord stands forever. This building that we're sitting in today was built about 55 years ago. We notice all the cedar wood on the inside, which would have been the same as the temple in Jerusalem. It had a cedar interior. We also have a cedar exterior here at St. Luke. Back in the day when this church started, you could put a sign in the front lawn, and I don't know if you did this, but you could have put a sign in the front lawn that said, "The Church of the Lutheran Hour." And that would have been enough for people to be interested to come into the church. And for you that don't know what the Lutheran Hour is, it was a radio program, the first of its kind, a nationwide broadcast so that people who were stuck at home or homebound or people who maybe in addition to their place of worship listened to a sermon and listened to a worship service that reached millions. Now, you should be impressed because it would be like today, it would be almost like the Lutherans were the first to use the internet to spread God's word. That's how cutting edge that technology was. But sadly, since that time, Lutheran church has been declining. Church attendance has been on a decline. The last two decades have been a steep decline. As we want to build our children's resumes for college, this is the place that we build our resumes for life. The place where we hear God's word, where we come together as God's people, as the Lord's people went to the temple in Jerusalem until it was destroyed. We too are here together to lift up God's name and to lift one another up. Since our denomination has been on a rapid decline, churches have closed on Long Island and across the nation. And this isn't just a Lutheran problem. This is a Christian problem. Church attendance and church membership has been slowly on the decline. While the number of Americans has grown, the number of church growers has shrunk. Especially in Europe and all across the West and the United States. And I don't say this to be a downer. I'm actually very optimistic. As our world continues to change, as we continue to hear the dark rhetoric in our politics, in the way we talk to one another on social media, the way we talk to one another, neighbor to neighbor, we Christians, we can be that light that God calls us to be. That shining jewel on the mountain like the temple was, so that people, all people, can see that there is a hope, there is a peace that we have as Christ's people. What will happen to the Jewish people when the temple is destroyed? What will happen to us when our numbers may continue to decline? The good news is that it doesn't depend on buildings. It doesn't depend on structures. It depends on God's Spirit and upon His Word. The good news is that our faith does not depend on brick and mortar, but it depends on flesh and blood and word and spirit as we gather together. As the prophets say, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of the Lord will stand forever. I just found out a new term that a pastor was using. The hashtag was free-range pastor. A free-range pastor to free-range Christians. So this pastor reaches out to people who are no longer going to church, but still are remaining in the Christian faith. Jesus speaks about the impermanence of our human institutions, but the triumph of the church despite that. He does so not to lead us to despair, but to lead us to hope and perspective. We are the stewards of something far greater than brick and mortar and buildings. No matter how much we cherish this building on 20 Candlewood Path in Dix Hills, New York. We are stewards of the good news. No earthly or spiritual power can take away that faith and that love in our hearts. It's why our reading from Hebrews reminds us that we should not neglect to meet together, as some have. Before this building was built, I understand that the St. Luke church family met at a house not too far from here. And so we came together despite the difficulties and the circumstances. We would have met in a barn if we had to, or outside gathered like we did during the pandemic. What binds us together are not the nails that attach these cedar planks to the walls. What binds us together are the nails that drove Jesus' hands and feet into the cross. The crucified, the resurrected Lord, he's the one that knits our hearts together as his people. As Scripture says, we are a chosen race. We are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, to proclaim the mighty acts of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. The temple would be destroyed in AD 70 with all that marvelous craftsmanship and work. But the birth pangs, even before that, gave birth to the church that scattered like the wind. Believers fleeing Jerusalem and Israel, going all throughout the Roman Empire, leaving that temple behind. But actually, no. They took the temple with them. They took their temples with them. Their mobile temples. Not made of brick and mortar, but of their own flesh and blood, their own bodies, their own spirits. You'll remember that those temples were from every tribe, nation, tongue, and people. Scripture calls you and me, our physical bodies, the temples of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, "Destroy this temple, and I'll rebuild it in 3 days." Foreshadowing his death and his resurrection. So God has built you and me into the temple of the Holy Spirit. And as individuals even, these are the temples also of the Holy Spirit. Our hearts are the altars where Christ lives and dwells richly. We are God's building program. As you exit the sanctuary and go down the hall, that's not the expansion program we're talking about. We're talking about building people up and multiplying and building a new temple, not of brick and mortar, but of God's people, with Christ as the cornerstone, the prophets and the apostles as the foundation, and as you and me. We are the living stones, Scripture says, that he is building up. We are the kingdom of God, the new temple, not made with human hands, but by the hands, the nail-scarred hands of our Creator. The temple, you, this is the temple. This is the temple that will never be destroyed. In the name of Jesus, amen.